The murder of Jacqueline Dwalaby is a tragedy that has puzzled and polarized the minds of those who know it. Over the past 6 months, we've extensively investigated this case, trawling through files, trial transcripts, and archives, and have been conducting interviews with the people who've lived through it.
It was a sensational, startling fact that a 7-year-old little girl had shown up missing from a suburban home.
Something like that happening would have never crossed our parents' minds.
The notion that a stranger can slip into a child's bedroom in the middle of the night, completely undetected, is surely a notion that every single parent on this earth fears. But what's even more lamentable is knowing that a child killer is roaming the street, and even more chilling, they could be someone you know.
Hosted by Emily G. Thompson and Eileen McFarlane, this is The Shattered Window.
Okay, everybody. Niall says he has a joke. Get over here.
Okay.
You have to come in here.
He's to perform.
So, why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
To get to the... No, sorry, hold on.
Oh my. You even told it wrong. Are you going to repeat a joke?
Oh, I'm so sad.
No.
Cut this out.
No, staying in.
Hold on.
This is the start of the
podcast.
I got
a Googler. Oh, yeah, okay.
It's always bad when they laugh before they even tell it. That's how you know it's bad.
Yes.
Why did the chicken go to the seance?
Why?
To get to the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, Niall Clark.
All I can say is you chose him. Welcome back to Give Us Morgue. I'm Eve.
I'm Megan.
And you're here with us for a brand new episode, this time brought to you by Megan. Now, what are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to be talking about lying eyes. Sharon Collins. She was an Irish woman, yes. And she was just a fucking knob. She's an arsehole.
There's a lot of those over here.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
You'd be shocked.
Last week we talked about... Who did we talk about? We talked about...
Fuck. Chris. I was going to say Chris Watts. No, fuck him.
I was going to say Chris Parnell, but that's a singer.
Who's Chris Parnell?
He's like from some stupid band that Carl likes.
But it's Chris Benoit.
Yes, it was. So many Chris's out there. It gets very... Last week we talked about Chris Benoit. So if you haven't done so already, you should go back and listen to that. If you want to, it's completely up to you. I'm not going to force you. But I would prefer it if you did.
It would be nice. I mean, you're here now, so you
may as well.
May as well, yeah.
And you are listening to Give Us Morgue. If you have any suggestions on anything, just anything in general, any nice things. Don't be mean. We don't want any mean suggestions. You can email us at giveusmorgue@gmail.com or you can DM us over on Twitter or on our Instagram, both at giveusmorgue.
I don't think we have any other business to attend to.
I don't think so. All of our prize winners have received their prizes.
Oh my god, I am so, so sorry that it's taken so fucking long get to you.
Coronavirus has...
But I also, fuck the Irish postal system.
The Irish postal system takes forever. But on top of that, COVID.
It does not help.
They're like, you transmitting some COVID there? You're like, no. I'm sending over a notebook and a colouring book.
Sending over some COVID, just with a little bow on top.
Yep.
Okay, so let's get into it. It is an Irish case, so I will try my best to explain things as best I can. Not that there's much to explain, to be honest. We're quite a boring country.
Everything we do, we've stolen from other countries, so...
Or forced upon us. Like speaking English.
You know who you are.
So let's get into it. So, we're going to be talking about Sharon Collins, right? She's known as Lying Eyes 98. So, you might have heard of her. You might not have. It's kind of lighthearted, kind of not.
Nobody dies, so...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I spoiler alert, but I'm just... Because there's no reason for any... Well...
No, there's no reason for any...
There's no reason for, like, anyone to quit. There's nothing, like...
No, but it's a very interesting...
It is an interesting case, but I'm just for the... You know, the way normally we have our little disclaimers.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need that today, because nobody is murdered.
Actually, disclaimer, nobody dies, so if that's not your thing...
Yeah. If you're like, no, I want the murder...
Yeah, oh my god, imagine we get hate. You're a true crime podcast, but there's no actual murder.
Yeah.
It's still a crime.
It's still a crime. It's still true crime. Just nobody died. You know, we need a break from the death.
Especially after last week.
Yeah.
There was no laughs to be had last week.
No, it was really, like, it is really, really sad, the case.
Mm-hmm.
So it is hard to be like, lol.
So... Sharon Collins. Let's go into a little bit about Sharon first.
Oh, hey, Sharon.
Hey, girl. So she was born Sharon Coote in 1963 in Ennis, County Clare.
Okay.
In the West. Clare's in the West, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure Clare's in the West.
In the West of Ireland.
Yes, West.
So she went to college at the University of Limerick, and at 19, she dropped out to marry a fella called Noel Collins. And then she had two sons with them fairly quickly.
Oh.
So she was young, having her two babies.
Did you hear? Sharon's pregnant.
Did you hear she dropped out of college?
Did you hear she doesn't even know? If you don't know what we're doing, if you're like American, if you're just not Irish and you're like, what the fuck? We are quoting one of the best Irish movies to ever grace television.
Are we? Oh, fucking The Snapper.
Yeah.
I thought we were just doing nosy Irish people.
No. Did you hear? Sharon Curley's pregnant.
I fucking... Go watch The Snapper. It's so
honestly,
good.
Honestly, it's so good.
Anyway, just watch it. It's so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in 1989 then, Sharon and Noel had their marriage annulled by the church and were divorced when the law in Ireland changed, allowing divorce. And can I just say, this was only in 1995.
Actually, divorce in Ireland has only been passed. Like, as of this year. Divorce was allowed in Ireland, but only under certain circumstances. You couldn't just get a divorce willy-nilly.
Oh, no, you had to give, like, good
there
reason.
There had to be, like, an abusive relationship.
A good reason.
Like, a really, like, okay, we'll allow you to divorce.
Yeah, and it still takes 4 years.
Yes. I think, was it last year or this year was the first, it's been passed. You can actually get a divorce now.
Just for the lols.
Just for the lols, if you want one.
So,
2019, 2020, Ireland passed divorce.
But I have a printout here of basically the proportion of votes for yes to no of who wanted to allow divorce in Ireland and who didn't. And all of the different counties.
I'm going to say it. The elderly.
No, she can't get divorced. Is she mad? You're mental. Who would help pay for the children?
So, the north of Kerry actually said no. 59.1% of Kerry, the north of Kerry, were like, nah. 66.1% of West Cork were like, nah.
No.
It's just fucking crazy to me. We have one here, 31.8% in Dunleary in Dublin, so that was good. And Limerick, the east of Limerick, was split half and half. Like, what? Like, that's just crazy to me. Only in... I think they took the vote in 1992 and then it was eventually signed into law in 1995. But that is just nuts.
No, I don't remember correct. I'm not sure divorce passed, like, with flying colours last year.
Oh, no, it wouldn't have done.
I think it was, like, a really close call. Like, something like 52-48. Like, it literally just passed.
Well, the Irish people are still very much controlled by the Catholic Church, 110%.
Like, the Catholic religion has more say in this country than it really should.
Yeah, like, when this bill was being written up, kind of, and you were being asked to go out and vote, the Catholic Church were like, you know what, we don't like divorce, we're not going to support it, but you can go out and vote for it and it won't be a sin. Like, who? I do not care if it is a sin, sir. So, back to Sharon. She was a petite blonde bombshell and she was so determined to get what she wanted out of life. She was like, single now, she had the two kids, she was supporting the two kids. Don't think she was getting much from Noel. I don't know. But I feel like from what I've kind of researched and that kind of thing, I don't think she was getting a lot from Noel. So she decided to provide for herself and she set up a bespoke kitchen design shop.
Woohoo! Bespoke. No.
Bespoke. I bestoke upon you.
I bestoke upon you my kitchens.
So in November 1998, a man called PJ Howard walked into her shop. She was 14 years younger than PJ.
Oh.
But she said that it was like she knew he was coming for her and that she was expecting him. And at one point she actually also talks about remembering him when she was a child.
That's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
On so many levels.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, she decided at that point she was going to have PJ.
Oh, she was going to have him.
She was going to get him. She was going to get him real good. So PJ himself, he was a millionaire. And at the time that they had
Shocker.
Met. Wow, right?
And she loved him despite?
Despite the 14-year age difference and his many health issues.
And his millions of euro.
But no, he was a fairly private kind of guy. He had built his business from the ground up, basically starting with a car dealership and then owning multiple properties in the west of Ireland.
Go him.
Yeah.
PJ killing it.
Right? Now, he was newly single, as his partner of over 6 years, Bernie Lyons, had recently passed away.
Aww.
Yeah, so he was still grieving for Bernie when he met Sharon. He had been married, actually, when he met Bernie, to a woman called Teresa.
Wait, I thought his wife only recently passed and he was still grieving her.
Bernie was his partner, but Teresa was his wife.
Oh, okay, so him and Teresa were separated.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the marriage had, broken down in 1992 after 18 years together.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right. So, like I said, he was still handling the grief from Bernie's passing when he met Sharon in the shop, but there was an immediate, undeniable attraction. They quickly started a relationship together and PJ wasted no time in introducing her to his two sons, showering her with gifts like a Rolex. And even having her move in with him. So she was actually invited over for Christmas that year. Like, remember that they only actually met in November.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, she was invited over for Christmas that year. She just never left.
She was like, I live here now.
Yeah. So her two sons moved in with them too. So it was like, all good.
Sorry. Do you want to come over for Christmas dinner? Sure. Arrives over. So these are my two sons. We live here now. Where are our rooms? Somebody take my bags.
PJ!
PJ! I am a woman of leisure now.
Oh, Sharon. But yeah, she really enjoyed, obviously, the new secure lifestyle she had. She didn't have to work for herself anymore.
Goals.
Right.
That part I'm serious about, fucking goals.
She was being very well looked after, and when PJ had a quadruple bypass, a fucking quadruple,
like, man.
Sharon was there by his side to bring him back to normal.
I'm sure she fucking was.
I'd be all Florence Nightingale in that shit up.
In my nurse's outfit that I bought off fucking Anne Summers.
Hi PJ, darling. Oh Jesus Christ, he'd need another fucking bypass.
No, that's what she'd intend.
So, she would often work at the family business as a secretary, just doing receptionist duties. She was being paid €850 a week or pound a week for the privilege. And, like, she was only working a couple of days a week.
Fucking goals.
Right? But she was also, like, obviously getting that topped up by PJ.
Oh my God.
So he was just like, yeah, whatever, here's more.
I wish Carl would hurry up and become a millionaire or something.
Oh God, I know, right?
I don't want to leave you, Carl, but...
Oh, R.I.P. You just got slaughtered.
That was clearly, that was just for anybody concerned, that was a joke.
Also,
I'm not in fact a gold digger.
Bitch, I am. So, side note, when PJ had his quadruple bypass, he bought a boat in Spain and he called it Heartbeat.
Heartbeat. Remember that program?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll just sit in my old woman chair by myself.
Yeah, because I'm so young and hip and cool.
Oh, God.
Don't get older, kids. It's... Well, I mean, you don't really have a choice. So what are you telling the kids to do, Niamh? Young forever.
I mean, I'm 26 and look what's wrong with me.
R.I.P. to your youth. So back on it, in 2003, Teresa, remember PJ's actual wife, his estranged wife, she died from a brain hemorrhage.
Oh, fuck.
So this meant that the option of getting married...
Was open.
Wide open. Although PJ didn't actually want to get married again. So, like, he did love her. He loved her with all of his heart.
Yeah.
And he did want to spend the rest of his life with her. But in Ireland, no matter what is written, a spouse is always due a third of the deceased partner's estate or wealth.
Yes.
So even a prenup would not have helped the situation, because PJ wanted everything that he had to go to his two sons.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, Sharon... was introduced to PJ's life when he'd already built up his career and his wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, like, she doesn't deserve any of it.
No, she doesn't.
I'm sure he would have left her a fucking nice healthy sum.
Well, that's what he said. He said, like, if I do pass, like, you will be getting something, you will be looked after.
Yeah.
But she wasn't happy with that.
I want more.
Oh my God, remind me of Ashley Tisdale in High School Musical.
I want fabulous. That is my billboard request.
Okay. But yeah, so as far as PJ was aware, Sharon was quite happy with the arrangement that they would just kind of live together. And
she was like a typical female, like, yeah, it's fine.
But so what happened was they decided to exchange kind of some words in a church in Italy in
as
November,
like a symbol of marriage without the actual marriage.
Yeah, exactly. And this was in November in 2005. And actually, when they came back home, they had a kind of, quote, wedding reception. And Sharon even started calling herself Sharon Howard.
Sharon Howard?
Oh my God.
Why would you actually give yourself that name?
Sharon Howard. That was really hard to say. So yeah, they exchanged some vows in a church privately in November 2005 in Italy. And like I said, when she came home, she started calling herself Sharon Howard.
Yes.
Now, before they went over, PJ was feeling a bit, like, he wasn't sure, he was a bit like, eh. Before they went over, Sharon drew up a document for herself, because PJ was feeling a bit off about the whole thing. So she drew the document up for herself and for PJ, stating that they would not marry then or ever. And they both signed it, they dated it, and they were meant to bring it to their solicitors, so their solicitor would have a copy each.
Yeah.
And PJ did, and Sharon did not. So she just kept it for herself.
Oh.
Cheeky little bitch. She just really wanted the security of a marriage, and when they got home from Italy, she just went about it as if she was married. So she wanted the security of a marriage to PJ because she wanted the money.
Okay.
So what she decided to do was do some research on proxy marriages. Now, a proxy marriage is where kind of only one of the parties needs to be present. It's kind of used for like military.
Yeah.
Like if somebody's overseas or that kind of thing. So then she found proxymarriages.com. Now, they're kind of, like, based in Mexico, I think.
Yeah, it's not really necessarily something done so much over here.
No, it's not. So, because she couldn't go over to Mexico without PJ being like...
Why are you going to Mexico?
Yeah, she decided to look into a double proxy marriage, which is where basically you send off all the documentation, they legalize it and send it back to you. And send you your marriage certificate.
Mm.
So, she done that, and when she was kind of researching it and that kind of thing, she's... sent an email to an employee there. So an email to somebody in Mexico.
Yeah.
And she goes, quote, "What about inheritance? If any one of us were to die, we are worried about our respective children arguing whether the marriage actually existed." End quote.
Suspicious.
Because PJ didn't know. And sure, the kids then don't know.
Yeah, of course.
And then if PJ dies and she's like, oh, we're actually married.
The kids are going to be like, what? No, you're not.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. So the marriage documents were sent out to Sharon after she paid $1,000 for them. And in February 2006, she used them to get a new passport with Sharon...
with her full name on it.
Yeah, her new name.
Yeah.
On it. So now that they were
legally but kind not of legally married.
Yeah.
Like, legally married, but not to his knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. She would go on to her next move. So,
dun, dun, dun.
She's a freaking snake. Sharon, between Googling about fucking diet pills and other things, she started looking for a hitman to get rid of her partner and stepsons.
Why do they Google everything? Like, why do murderers fucking Google everything that police can easily get the history of?
Wait till you see how fucking dumb she is. So, basically what she did was she opened up a Yahoo email account under the username LyingEyes98. So, Lying Eyes after the Eagle song about, it's about like a young woman who was using an old man for his money. And 98 being the year that her and PJ met. She set this up in the office, on her office computer.
Why on the she...
But then, this is scummy, right? So instead of putting in, like, her name, she used the name B. Lyons, Bernie Lyons.
That's just, like, as low as you can fucking go.
The woman is fucking dead. What is wrong with you?
Like, that's literally as low as you can go.
Yeah.
To use a dead woman's name to be like, can you kill my husband?
Yeah, she's a fucking... Anyway, she's a scumbag. But yeah, she went digging on the internet and she found a website called hitman.us. And they had this song and dance on the website about how they're the best in the industry and everything. Like that a hit was only $50,000 and that she could be drinking margaritas on the beach while she's becoming a widow kind of thing. But if she looked in the small print, she'd realise that it wasn't actually a serious website. They were selling t-shirts and stuff. So she sent an email to them being like, hey.
Oh, hey, you guys. Can you kill my husband while I'm drinking margaritas on the beach?
Literally. Now, they say that they never actually found that email. And when the author of the book that I read was researching it, they obviously contacted them.
Yeah.
And they sent back an email to the author stating that they had never emailed Sharon back and said, quote, anyone with the minimal amount of intelligence can make the only reasonable conclusion that the site is not serious. So... I mean, I didn't go onto the site, but like...
Give me a sec. Hitman.us. Michael Duke Productions. No. No, sorry guys. Hitman Pro. No, that's malware. Contract killing. No. Saz guys, it's not coming up.
You are so going to be on so many lists.
They're literally like, what the fuck is she up? And I'm just after claiming that I don't want to leave call, but I will.
They'll never find this podcast. Nobody listens to us anyway. Okay, guys.
I just wanted to see if it was like really jokey or not, like to see how dumb she actually was.
Well, apparently it was like a super, like they had testimonials on the website. And one of them was something stupid, like, this guy at work really annoyed me, so I contacted this website, and I guess you could say I'm not annoyed anymore. The testimonials were, like, super...
super, like, clearly for t-shirts and hats and shit, and not actual people being like, so today I was annoyed and contacted this...
And who's writing a review on a hitman? Actually, I feel like I know a few people who would.
I feel like there are people out there that would be like, this is the best hitman that I've ever used.
Right, this was the worst. I want my money back.
He missed.
So, on the 2nd of August 2006, she found another website called hitmanforhire.net. Sam Eade's site that he'd set up in March earlier that year. So she registered on the site and she found herself talking to... He called himself Tony Luciano.
Of course he did.
And that, like, he was an Italian mobster kind of thing. So, but no,
really. Forget about it.
Really, he is a 49-year-old Egyptian man called Esamid. So he was living in Las Vegas, working as a poker dealer. He had two wives and a daughter, so.
Two wives.
Yeah, he was all for the polygamy. Get
go
it.
Him. But I'm good, but go you.
Just too much.
Sometimes I'm like, one's too much.
Well, how often do you walk them? You gotta feed them. Well, how many vegetables do they eat? So his second wife, Teresa Engel, she plays a very big part in this case too, so I want you to remember her. Teresa was born in Kentucky, and she moved to Vegas at one stage with her daughter, and then that's where she met Essam when she visited the poker table that he dealt at.
Yeah.
So they immediately struck up a relationship. Teresa was married, and so was Essam, obviously. But they started an affair. Eventually, Essam took Teresa on as a second wife, something that his first wife, Lisa, actually didn't know about. So Lisa thought that Teresa was just, like, hanging out at the house, like, living there for the lols.
Girl. Sweetie.
Sweetie, no.
Sweetie, no.
So, feeling out the website.
I'd be like, why is this woman in my house?
Right?
I wouldn't be like, oh, she must just be staying with us for a while.
Right? I think she might have had kind of like a feeling, because apparently he was a womanizer, he had loads of girlfriends.
You think she might have had a feeling?
just maybe. Actually, no. I have to say, I did read that apparently they would take part in threesomes.
It's too much work. I've never been in one, I don't know, I just assume.
No, neither have I, but it just doesn't appeal to me.
No.
It's
just so much, it is though, like.
I couldn't, no.
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 No, not for me.
Not for me. But it's for Essam and Lisa and Teresa. So, feeling out the website, hitmanforhire.net, Sharon decided she was going to fill out the employment part of the website. Like, you know, when you see careers at the bottom of a website, they had that. And when it came to the question, like, criminal history,
yeah,
she wrote in, none yet. Okay. So,
hopefully soon, if you hire me.
But when she didn't hear back from them immediately, Sharon filled out the secure email part saying, quote, two male marks in Ireland, usually together, make it look like an accident, then possibly another one within 24 hours, preferably like suicide. Would appreciate a call by return. End quote. So, funnily enough, actually, Sharon wasn't the only Irish person who applied to the website. There was an Irish soldier, his name was Brian, and he was on the internet looking for, you know, the game Hitman?
Yeah.
He was looking for cheat codes for that. So he found the site and he thought it was like a joke site. You know the way, like, those joke sites, ones that, like, call you and say something weird on the phone were big back then? So he filled out the form and he, like, in the skills part, he put in, like, a bunch of stupid skills that don't even make sense and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he didn't think much about it at all. He thought it was just a joke. But then he started to receive, like, phone calls from Essam. He was calling himself Tony, like, asking for him and all this stuff. And this guy was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, and would hang up the phone.
Yeah.
But then he even got an email from Tony saying, quote, I have a job for you if you are interested. Two males in Ireland and one in Spain. ASAP. Let us know. We will try to call you. Thanks. Tony Luciano. Like, okay.
Okay.
So the one in Spain would be PJ, because PJ was always in Spain.
Yeah.
So by the 16th of August then, Sharon had FedExed €15,000 to Tony, in the US. Like, she literally put it in a box and FedExed it to him.
Great. A genius smart idea.
She put a pair of goggles in the box so that it wouldn't look... It's like buying condoms, but also buying fucking, like, I don't know.
Goggles.
Like,
out of all things she could have put in the box, she put fucking goggles.
Yeah, she literally just found them in the drawer in the house and was like, that'll do.
I mean, her house is filled with so much stuff and she chose fucking goggles.
Queen of being an idiot.
That's literally like buying a box of condoms whilst also buying, like, bread.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. I couldn't think of something else. It's like trying to make it inconspicuous.
Yeah. Like, hi, I'm just here to buy this carton of milk. And can I also get the 20 pack of Dulux
extra
safe? Durex. Dulux is paint. Can I also get that 20 box of Durex extra safe behind you?
Ribbed for her pleasure.
Oh my god, I was on, I feel like, was it Nasty Gal? think it could have been Nasty Gal. No, maybe it was Misguided.
Yeah.
And they were selling, like, sex toys.
Yeah.
They also were selling condoms for, like, €5 for, like, a 20-pack.
That's a bad idea.
Death. No.
Remember when you were, like, a teenager and they'd have, like, all the flavoured ones and glow-in-the-dark and...
Why would you want a glow-in-the-dark one? I'd actually wet myself laughing. If someone came at me, I say the term, came at me, because you can't, it's nighttime, right? And next thing you just see a glowing dick, like, hey, baby. I'd be like, get away from me.
It's like a fucking lightsaber.
Literally, like, why would you want that? Who finds that sexy?
No, I hate, I just, no, can't do.
Just use a fucking regular one. Don't be trying being fancy and shit.
Yeah, right?
Like, it's sex. Like, why are you trying to fancy it up?
It's gross as it is.
Literally.
Sex is not sexy.
I have a bone to pick with movies and television shows. Why is it always like, oh, yes. But like in real life, you're like,
true. Sex is so unsexy.
It's not the most unsexiest thing you can do, but it's up there. Like, and shower sex is not at all.
I thought you were going to say like sour cream does not belong or something.
No, it does not.
No, it doesn't. No.
I didn't think I had to say that. But like...
I am intrigued.
Shower sex is the worst.
It's the worst. And then you're like, one of you is under the water and one is not. And it's like...
And the one that's under the water is like...
And then the other one is fucking freezing cold.
It's never... No.
It's not a good idea.
No.
Just fucking have sex in a bed.
I mean, anywhere else is just a pain in the butt, really.
Yeah. Literally. It's not... comfortable.
No. No.
It's the worst.
It is the worst.
So back to Sharon.
So that was my rant.
Sorry, Sharon.
No, I'm not sorry, Sharon. You send goggles.
Fucking moron. How did we get from goggles to showers? Oh, God. Moving on.
Swiftly moving on. Anywho's.
So, as I was saying, she FedExed over the box and, the Irish soldier got another email. It was, quote, "Hello, Brian. Please help us out for this. I need some strong poison. One of us will be there at Shannon Airport 7:20 a.m. tomorrow coming from the States, and we can't ship this stuff for security reasons. You know that. So please help us out. We will pay, and I will owe you a favour. Thanks, brother. Tony."
I'll owe you a favour. If you murdered this dude, I'll owe you solid.
And like, I wouldn't mind, but Brian has not been responding to anything. So Sam is like, yeah, he's good for it. He won't rat on me.
Him like, no, please leave me alone. It was a joke.
So Teresa and Sam were getting ready to head off to Ireland then. Also, you might be wondering why Sharon actually wanted to end the life of her love, PJ Howard, huh?
I mean, if he was the love of her life that she so claimed when she first saw him. Like Dirty Dancing.
Hungry eyes. Except it was lying eyes.
I look at you and I can't disguise. I've got hungry eyes for your money.
Yes. Well, I'm going to answer your question right now. So in an email sent to Sam Eid while they were getting everything set up. Quote from Sharon. "Finally, I have a chance to email you with no one breathing down my neck. Again, I must apologise for not being able to take your calls tonight. I thought I'd be on my own, but my son, who's 20, came home much earlier than I expected. He's a good kid and said he wanted to spend some quality time with me as I'm going away on Wednesday." They were going to Spain. "So we were watching a movie and chatting, and at the time I was trying to email you, but as I said, we are always having problems with internet connections at the house, so I lost the very long email that I had hoped to send you. Anyway..."
Gosh darn.
Damn it. "Anyway, what I was saying was, thank you for the photos. Your daughter is beautiful and clearly loves her dad, and you're very handsome yourself. Italian, of course, and him Egyptian. I had to smile when I saw your photo. For as long as I can remember, I've been saying that I would love a sexy yellow sports car, and I've always wanted to visit Las Vegas. Maybe you'll take me for a ride in yours if I ever get that, if I ever get there.
Vroom,
vroom. Vroom, vroom. And then she goes, now, that's cheeky, isn't it?
Wow, Sharon, you're no pro at the flirting there.
No. Then she goes, anyway, I was sitting with my son last night and thinking, if he only knew what his mother was planning, he definitely would wonder if he ever knew me at all. My boys would be devastated if they thought I would do such a thing. My other son is nearly 23 and works in Dublin. I miss him a lot. We are very close. In fact, my boys are everything to me. I got married for the first time when I was 19. It was a disaster. There was no divorce in Ireland at the time, but I got an annulment from the church, and when divorce was introduced, I got one. I didn't have to resort to extreme measures at the time. I can get on quite well with my ex-husband now. I think it's important for children that parents try to get along, even when the relationship breaks down. Otherwise, the children question their own worth. I suppose you think I want to be rid of my husband so I can get what he has. Well,
yes.
I do want to inherit. I want my home and an income. Of course I do. But there's a lot more to it than that.
Okay.
So she completely drags PJ here. So for one thing, he resents any time I spend with my boys and tried to keep me away from them. Oh, he bought your kid a house when he turned 20.
What a horrible, horrible man.
What a fucking, you know what?
Buying someone that's not even his own biological son a goddamn house.
Yeah, wild. How could anybody think of that? That's just disgusting. And then we're continuing the quote here. So that's a reason why my son wanted to take advantage of being with me last night while my husband's in Spain. My husband wants to control every moment of my life and has a dreadful temper, and he makes sure I have no money of my own. But the main reason I'm doing this is because he is continually trying to force me to go out and pick up a stranger for sex. He finds the idea of it exciting and insists I must do it or I'm out, and he will make sure that I have absolutely nothing. Well, I will not do that. No way. The mother of my boys is not a slut. I think it's disgusting that a man would want his woman to be with another man. He never, ever stops pushing for it. Frankly, I don't care what he does. I don't mind if he has sex with hookers or transvestites, of which he is particularly fond, every day, but leave me out of it. He has gone so far that I'm at the stage now when I would be happy if I never had to hear of sex again. Girl, same. I would be perfectly content on my own now with no man. I certainly will never marry or live with someone again.
Girl, you're hitting on the hitman. If you don't want a man, why are you hitting on your hitman?
Make it make sense, Chardon. So, and then she continues, you might ask yourself why I don't just leave and sue him, but it wouldn't work, believe me. I'm in a very vulnerable situation, and because of the way he has things tied up, I'm afraid his boys are going to suffer now, and I really regret that. I wish
yes,
so much...
they are going to suffer, because you're planning on fucking killing them.
Yeah. And she goes, I wish so much that it didn't have to be like this, but then again, I know that if my husband was dead and they were still here, they'd screw me anyway. In fact, I'm sure of it. So now I want to protect myself and my boys. Gee, Tony, I must be boring you out of your mind. Yes. It's the last thing you need to know.
Absolutely.
Sorry. She goes, sorry, I do go on. To get back to business, I still haven't found out where the guys will be this weekend. They probably don't know themselves yet. More than likely, though, it will be Kilkee.
I sure do go on a lot. Then why are you going on a lot?
Yeah, she did not shut the fuck up. That was it. I'm stressed out after reading that.
I love the way she's like, he loves transvestites. What?
There's absolutely no proof of this.
Girl.
And also if he did, get your fucking life together, Sharon. That's not the reason to kill somebody.
Absolutely not.
Anyway. So at this point, you know, it's all in motion. Sharon is talking to SM multiple times a day over the phone and by email, and on the 29th of August 2006, Teresa Engel made her way to Shannon Airport from Las Vegas, and she set up shop in a hotel where she'd test out the directions that Sharon had given to them to get to the office and to get to the the boy's house.
Mm.
So a friend of Assam Eid's, Ashraf Garbia, I'm so sorry I butchered that, but I learned it by reading it, so. Accept Assam's offer to go to Ireland to help him dispatch the two Howard sons. But when he went over to Ireland to meet with Teresa, he said he was actually trying to talk her out of the hits. And she was not interested in it. She wanted to do it and she was willing to do it for the money. And he described her as having the moral compass of an alley cat.
Oh, dang.
I'm going to use that from now on.
That's, yeah.
It's so funny. So eventually, Teresa, she checks out the house. She checks out, she gets herself familiar with the town.
Yeah.
And then she goes from Ireland to Spain to check out PJ's apartment that Sharon had given them keys for.
Yeah.
And she told him, check out the apartment so that when you're trying to make it look like a suicide, you know where you're going.
Yeah.
But she didn't do that. She went there. She looked at it, like, from the street. And then she kind of felt like she had a bit of heat stroke. So she went and lay in her bed and then went back to Ireland and back to Vegas.
Great. That's genius.
Fucking amazing. So then eventually in November 2006, Assam and Teresa both make their way to Ireland. The first thing they do as part of their plan was break into PJ's office. Sharon has already hidden the keys under a brick for them to use to get in, and she's given them the security code for the alarm. So they took the hard drive, so the actual computer part of Sharon's computer.
Yeah.
She asked them to take that because she knew the emails and everything are going to be on it.
Yeah.
And they took that, a laptop and a poster.
A poster?
Yeah. Just like out of the frame.
Oh, God.
But then she had told them, like, lock up on your way out. So it looks like one of the boys took the computer off for repair and it won't cause alarm so quickly. But they didn't. They didn't lock the door properly on the way out. They didn't reset the code. So when one of the boys, I think it was Robert, went to work the next day, he was like, what the fuck? Why is the door open? Why is it?
The alarm off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he was able to call Gardaí and be like, oh, there was a break-in, whatever. So wait till you hear this. So she had asked them to take the hard drive and throw it into the ocean.
Yeah.
They put it in a bag and they went back to their B&B and they put it around the back of the B&B in the bag.
They had one job. One job. So lock up after yourselves and throw the fucking thing in the
fucking knob heads.
I got. She comes from America, from Las Vegas, where it's like constantly like fucking 40 degrees.
Yeah, the middle of the fucking desert, like.
And she's like, I got heat stroke. I can't.
Just imagine her going back to lie in her room, like on the bed, like,
She probably didn't even. She probably went down to the fucking pool and sunbathed.
Oh, probably.
With her fucking heat stroke coming from the fucking desert.
But yeah, so the day goes on as normal. The two lads go to work, they go home. About 10:30 at night, they get a call.
Yeah.
And it's a guy on the phone and he's like,
heard about your break-in. Heard you got broken into. You're missing some stuff. I got some stuff.
And they're like, okay. So, like, 10 minutes later, this guy pulls up to the house and he's wearing, like a cap and stuff. It's fucking Assam. He knocks on the door and he's like, have your laptop. And then he's like, by the way, there's a hit on your life for $130,000. If you pay me the low, low fee, one time fee of €100,000, I won't kill you. That'd be good. Don't want to do it. Just pay me.
That is genius.
That's the fucking scam of the century.
Teresa, I'm sorry, you're a dumb bitch. Assam here, he knows what he's doing.
Oh yeah, you could say that, but he's only building on, like, he was caught in the US for doing something like this.
Oh, okay.
The same exact scam.
I mean, he could have called them to go over to the house. It's stupid.
Well, I mean, I don't know. So,
you missing some stuff? I've got your stuff right here. It's Assam.
He told them that his name was Tony Luciano and that he was Italian.
Okay.
Like, imagine showing up to somebody's door like, I'm Tony Luciano, I'm Italian. Like, he actually told them, I am Italian, to, like, throw them off. Like, who is fucking asking this question? Who cares?
Coming in like, hi, I'm Niamh Halpin. I'm Irish.
Me doing our promo.
Yeah. I am Irish.
But yeah, it's
kind of a tattoo.
I'll make a mic. Gorim Mila Milekut. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, that's as far as we can go.
So basically, yeah, they're standing there and Aslam's like, yeah, you can give me 100,000, you know, and I won't kill you. It'd be super good for both of us because I don't want to do it. And, you want to live, I guess. So,
I guess. Unless you don't.
So the younger brother, Niall, is like inside the house and he's watching from the window. And he decides, fuck this, I'm going to call the police. So Robert goes back into the house for a minute. I don't know what he's doing. He just, like,
maybe he's getting his checkbook.
Yeah. So SM must have noticed that they were calling the police because they were watching him and he just walked down the drive and got into a car that had no lights on and just drove away. So it was just fucking weird. Obviously, the Gardaí are like, this is a bit different to our fucking speed stops.
Yeah.
So yeah, the police decided to do the sting operation. So Robert is sitting in the pub, basically waiting to be met up with. Now, a bunch of, obviously, plainclothes police officers are there. Like, there was like 10 or 15 of them.
Sitting there with their fucking pints of Guinness, being like, isn't this great, Sean? We get to have a fucking pint of Guinness whilst waiting on your man drinking at work. Nah!
But, yes, SM is in a pub across the road. Watching all this shit go down.
Stupid fucking idiot.
No, he sends Teresa in. Yeah, he sends Teresa in.
What a dick.
Right? And he calls Robert and he's like, go to the ladies' bathroom. There, you will meet a lady there. And she'll take the money off you. So Robert's like, cool. Teresa's waiting there. Basically, Robert gets there. Teresa looks at him, notices he doesn't have an envelope in his hand, and is like, where's the envelope? And he's like, he's like, where's the laptop? And she just leaves. She just tries to walk out.
She's just like, oh, never mind. I think I'm getting I mean, we all know how hot Irish pubs can get.
Oh, especially in the end of November.
Oh my god.
No, the end of September, was it? Because it was nearly October.
Yeah.
It was nearly Halloween.
Oh god, that's great.
But
she's like, okay, bye.
So obviously, he's like,
no, sweetie, no.
Obviously, she gets arrested. SM is probably watching up this, like, from the pub across the road going, shit. But he gets arrested too, like, straight away.
She probably fucking gives him up.
Right, no.
Straight away.
I literally have written down, now, Teresa sings like a birdie in questioning.
They're like, where is he? You don't even need to, he's here.
Now, SM tries to keep his cool, but he was found with photographs on him of the two boys and of PJ and Sharon. So when he's questioned about them, like, okay, so they had a kit with them for breaking into the office. She wore a blonde wig and he wore a black wig and they wore Halloween masks. And when they were asked about the Halloween masks, he was like, well, it's nearly Halloween. And then he had black leather gloves. The two of them had black leather gloves. And they were like, what's with the gloves? And he was like, Irish weather's cold. Not even joking. Yeah. And then when he's questioned about the photos of, obviously, fucking what's-her-face Sharon, he's like, oh yeah, we're having an affair. Okay. That's a bit weird.
So you come over to Ireland with photos of the person you're having an affair with and her entire family with wigs, gloves, and Halloween masks.
And also with
a break-in kit. And your wife. Makes perfect sense.
Perfect sense. Now, obviously, it doesn't go down well. And during the investigation, the hard drive was recovered by the groundsman at the B&B that they were staying at. He found it and he like brought it into his own little workspace and he like tried to, you know, turn it on and stuff. And it was like totally unbothered by the Irish weather because it was in a bag.
Yeah.
It was totally like working. He didn't have any monitors or anything for it, but it blew it up.
Yeah.
So when the police came to get it, he was like, oh yeah, cool. There you are. So he just handed it over, no problem, as you would.
Yeah.
So they were able to start up and find all of the emails between Sharon and Assam.
If only they had done the one job they were supposed to do.
Literally, there would be nothing if they had just gotten rid of that.
Yeah.
So very quickly, Sharon was caught. Now, she proclaimed her innocence the whole way through. And she said that she was being set up. So she wrote letters. She actually wrote fucking letters to the DPP. Asking for her release. And believe it or not, during the trial, PJ actually stood up for her and testified for her.
Oh, sweetie, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, she said that she was being set up by somebody called Maria Marconi, who approached Sharon, apparently, I'm doing air quotes here, asking her for help with writing a book online, I guess. So Sharon said that they'd become friends and Maria had come over to the US to meet with Sharon. And that Maria would have had access at that point to Sharon's computer.
Why would you have had access to your computer?
But who knows? And that she was hacking her and...
Oh, sweetie. Nobody believes you.
Nobody. Absolutely nobody. And they never found a Maria Marconi. They never found her. She doesn't exist.
Shocker.
Wild. So, after a 7-week-long trial, Assam, he was sentenced to 2 years here in Ireland before he was extradited back to the US to do another 3 years.
Yeah.
And on the 9th of July 2008, the final verdict came back for Sharon. So, Sharon had been found guilty of soliciting a hitman and conspiracy to kill PJ and his two sons. On the 28th of November 2008, she was sentenced to 6 years to be served at Mountjoy Prison in Dublin. Of which she only served 3 years and 9 months of her sentence.
That sounds about right over here.
Yep.
We don't do well with jail time. Doesn't happen.
It doesn't. No. And she was let out on like temporary release kind of thing.
Yeah.
Me whole. Fucking load of bull. So she was 48, leaving prison. She left in September 2012. And she moved up to Belfast. She's up there living her best life at the minute. She used to give massages to the other prisoners, and apparently now she's doing that professionally.
Wouldn't my shite want a massage off her?
And she's walking dogs professionally. Twice the media found out what the dog walking business was called, and she had to change the name of it twice.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, right. And she's had to move a couple of times as well, but the media keep finding her, so it's like, deserved. No, she still says that she's innocent today. Like, she still says that it was nothing.
Girl, we have all the evidence.
Oh, yeah.
Literally all of it.
And she did take up a relationship with PJ again after she left prison.
PJ. Mm-hmm. I have more self-respect than that.
Yeah, but it didn't last. Didn't last all that time.
Probably wasn't able to fucking trust her.
I think it was maybe more her. Because he literally said in court that it was his dying wish that she is released.
Aw, PJ. She tried to kill you, sweetie.
So, back to Teresa, because I could not fucking find what happened to Teresa. I really think that she was put in prison in the US.
Yeah.
Because the FBI had to get involved because...
Because Americans and all that jazz.
See, what had happened was Teresa and the other fella, Assam...
Yeah.
They actually made a poison called ricin. And they brought it over to Ireland in a contact lens case.
Yeah.
So there was shit getting involved there. They obviously never got to use it, but...
But, like, they made it.
And he had it. He had the ricin in his jail cell. But apparently he, like, flushed it, but they were able to just get kind of remnants.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so whatever happened to him in the US, he's... I'd say he's out now.
I'd say he is, yeah.
It's just wild to me. So... Sharon and Assam were doing, like, the dirty flirty throughout their communications. But Assam only seen Sharon for the first time in court.
Lol.
Isn't that hilarious?
That's great.
Now, Teresa, she said that she was forced into doing it. And here's a quote from her that she said. So, she said, quote, "He made me eat his shit, all of his bodily fluids." Fluids?
Fluids.
"I had to drink his urine and mucus." Like, what?
What?
even blood, scabs. Every night I would say to myself, please God, don't let me live through this night. And that does not correlate at all with Lisa, the first wife, with the daughter. She had her own car. She was free to come and go as she wanted. She came over to Ireland.
To say she was over. He let her leave the country. If he was like that, he let her leave the country without him. She so easily could have fled.
Exactly.
If, like, it was the way she says it is.
What? Yeah. It's loading me whole, but I just thought this story was absolutely gas.
That is absolutely great.
It's just everybody in here is so stupid.
It's brilliant.
It's literally like watching a dumpster fire.
I feel like that would make a spectacular movie. Like a spectacular comedy.
Yeah, no, apparently she started writing books about it. Ugh. So she started writing a book about her time in prison, and then she started writing a book about what actually happened, and then she decided, no, she was going to leave it all in the best. All in the best.
Yeah, because she didn't want to give herself up.
Oh my God, actually, I don't have the direct quote here as well, which is funny. She was like, she went to the Independent, and she was like, everybody deserves second chances, you know, she's all crying, I want a second chance, blah, blah, blah. And Essam seen this, and Essam was like, yeah, everybody does deserve second chances, but Sharon didn't own up to what she done. I did, so I deserve a second chance.
She doesn't. She pretended like she didn't know what she... I mean, yeah. It's just great, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I have heat stroke.
Like, when I was researching this, I was like, she definitely was... like, lying on her bed, starfish position, like, fucking chilling, like, getting drinks up from the bar.
Oh, 1000% was, like, cocktail in hand, texting SM, like,
yeah,
went to see the apartment. I know exactly what I'm doing. It's all good. Absolutely shit-faced, like, living her best life in her fucking bikini.
Yeah. It's this story, just from beginning to end, is wild.
It's great. I love it.
Okay, so we have completed the story now, and that's it. We're drawing a line in the sand. Forget about it. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
So Niamh is going to give us a little bit of info here that I'm very excited about.
I'm going to give us a cocktail.
Oh, yes.
And I've had the cocktails out in front of me the whole the whole time, being like, oh, what one will I do? And I've decided I'm going to go with Stinger.
Ooh, go on, hit me.
Because it relates to, because Stinger, sting operation in the
case. Oh my God, you're so smart.
Thanks.
S-M-R-D.
Yeah. So you need 30 milliliters of cognac.
Cognac?
Cognac. 30 milliliters of creme de menthe ice.
I think that's, is that minty?
Maybe. It's a photo of a wasp beside it. I don't think that means anything. Add both ingredients into a cocktail shaker. Shake briskly. Strain into a glass with ice and serve.
Mmm, sounds tasty.
Yeah, I was also thinking about doing the screwdriver.
Yeah,
because it's literally just vodka and OJ.
That's my drink.
That's literally my drink.
So good.
And I love that it's a cocktail.
I actually have vodka and cranberry. Do you want one?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, we're gonna have a vodka cran. We're gonna have a vodka cran.
Vodka cran! I haven't had a vodka and cranberry juice. I don't know how long.
So good.
God, I miss the pubs right now.
I know, right?
I think I more so miss getting all dolled up. You know, when like, and you put on a really cute outfit.
Yeah.
And you're like, dang, I look so cute.
And you're like, go get it.
Go get it. And like,
I do love like, a good boogie.
Like, that's what I'm missing. I'm not missing the alcohol or...
People.
Y'all. I'm just missing the good time. You know, the...
Ooh, yeah. Don't talk about the sunshine.
You know, the feeling when you're like... Yeah. Just like... Yeah, when you're having a really good night out.
Yeah, and you don't want to go home and then the lights turn on and everybody's leaving and you're like...
Eh. No. So one of my favourite pastimes is to ask Cottle random questions.
Mm.
I find them on Pinterest and I just ask them.
Yeah.
And I find it hilarious because I like to find the ones where it's like 50 perfect questions to ask your boyfriend and they're like already stupid questions.
Yeah.
And no offense, but 9 times out of 10 it's an American that made them. And I'm just meaning that the questions are like more relative to Americans.
Yeah.
And like one of the questions was like, have you ever snuck into a bar when you were underage?
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, lol, that's just Ardy.
Yeah, it's kind of just Ireland. Like, I just think it's the done thing.
So the legal drinking age in Ireland is 18. You start going out to nightclubs at about 16.
Yeah, you do.
And you get in.
Oh, yeah, you get in.
You get in.
And, like, I thought the same. I thought it would kind of be the same in America. But when I went over...
No, it's meant to be really, really strict.
It is. I went to a nightclub and they gave me a stamp on my hand. The stamp meant that I couldn't drink because I was 18. And I was like, lol. So I went in and washed the stamp off. And the security guys saw me and was like, oh, honey, no. So he gave me another stamp. So I was like, right, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
No, I was already drunk going to the nightclub.
That's also another done thing.
Oh, yeah.
You don't go out sober.
No, never. Absolutely not. But there was a volleyball thing out the back of the nightclub. It was so cool. It was like filled with sand and stuff. And this guy wanted to play volleyball, so he asked me to hold his drink. So I said, yeah, okay. And you know when you like you hold the drink, you mindlessly take a sip?
Yeah.
You know, you're already drunk, so you kind of just mindlessly take a sip. And the fucking security guard seen me from across the fucking nightclub, made a beeline for me and threw me out. And then he wouldn't let me go in to get my friends. So I was just hanging out, annoying the tits off him. Like, I was so drunk. I was like, so, do you like it? Do you like it here? What's it like? Where are you from? You know? And he was, bless him, he was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just wild. And I couldn't believe that I couldn't just get away with having a fucking drink.
Well, my sister went over to America with her friend and her friend's family. I think they went to Disneyland.
Mm.
And like that, at the time, her friend's brother is the same age as me.
Mm.
And like that, they went into a restaurant, but like it was like just my sister, my sister's friend, and then my sister, her friend's sister and brother, and all of them were of age bar the brother.
Mm.
And they went in and like they literally, like she said, like they went in to order food and like they weren't even necessarily there to drink, but obviously because they could, you know, they ordered whatever. But she said like they were followed up to the bar. And followed back from the bar to make sure that they were only getting three drinks. And that, like, they weren't going to buy him a drink.
No way!
Yeah,
like, what if you wanted two drinks?
No. Because then, like, it was literally like, oh no, because he can't drink. Why do you need four drinks?
I want two, bitch.
And, like, I think that's it as well. Because, like, over in Ireland, we don't buy just one drink at a time. You either buy a double.
Yeah.
In two glasses. Or double in a pint glass.
Yeah.
Like, it's never just a single.
No, it's not.
Who buys a single?
But see, it's cheaper to buy a double.
Yeah, that's the thing. And so, like, but that wasn't, no. No.
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's so weird.
In Ireland, it's like, you know, you have, like, a baby at your fucking thing, a toddler, and they'd be like, here, take all the alcohol.
Yeah, no, like, it's literally, I think that's why it's, like, so bizarre. I just find it so weird.
It is. How come y'all can go to the military at 18, but you can't have a fucking beer when you get home from touring?
I feel like that's wild to me. You can do so much at 18 in America. Like, so much when
you're
18.
I was able to buy cigarettes over there.
Yeah. But you can't buy a drink?
What? That is, it's just wild.
Yeah.
Didn't stop me, though. Anyway.
We have been Give Us Morg. That was a great story, I have to say. Really thoroughly enjoyed that. Needed the lol.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so we'll see you next week for another fantastic podcast. We love you all.
Love you.
I've been Eve.
I've been Megan.
You've been listening to Give Us Morg. You can find us on Instagram or on Twitter at Give Us Morg. Or if you want to see who you're listening to, you can follow our own personal Instagrams, which is at Meg_Powell. And at Mrs. No, I said you're at wrong. At Meg_Powell_. Or, I don't know why I say or. I always say or. You don't have to choose between us. You can find me on Instagram at Mrs._Neve.
Yep, fuck it up.
Thank you.
Have a brilliant week.
Yes, please do.
Oh, shit, I'm stuck.
Bye.
Peace.